The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Antisocial behaviour on public transport has been described as intolerable, a scourge, and worse than ever. And now, as you heard there from Eamon Torsney, Dublin Bus is attempting to tackle the problem by introducing brand new security measures. It'll start on a pilot basis on certain routes with a view to being, if it works, extended right across Dublin. With the details, Billy Han, CEO of Dublin Bus. Billy, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
So you might explain the plan to us. It's a 20-week pilot. That's the first thing.
It is. As you'll know, Pat, we've now deployed our Safer Journeys team and our services enhancing security across the Dublin Bus network. And in simple terms, we want them to be visible and approachable security service on our buses.
So they will be identifiable?
They will be identifiable. They'll have uniforms on. They'll be very, very visible to our customers. And they will sort of only engage in an incident or an issue if it's absolutely required.
OK, so we have a similar model on the Lewis already, where you have the Lewis security staff who are identified. Many people, and I was one of them when I heard this story first, I thought they'd be undercover. They'd be there maybe wearing hoodies like many of the passengers, and they would not be discernible until the trouble started. But that's not the way it's going to work.
No, they'll actually be in full uniform. And what we find is when they're in full uniform and they do wear body cams as well, that actually that de-escalates the situation quite
quickly. So it's deterrence more than anything else.
Well, it is deterrent, but if absolutely needed, they can use reasonable force to remove somebody off the bus if it's absolutely needed. And of course, that would be the absolute last resort from our perspective.
So what powers do they have in law?
So really, you know, as I said, the primary responsibility is to de-escalate. Yep. So that's what they're going to do. So they're going to engage with people if absolutely needed to help our staff, to help any customers, de-escalate the situation. If that's not working and we feel that our property is going to be damaged or an individual is going to be assaulted, whether it be an employee or a customer, they do have, they do have the powers to actually use reasonable force to remove the person off the bus and then make a citizen's arrest if absolutely necessary and detain them until the arrival of an Garda Síochána. Mm.
Now, do you have CCTV on the buses inside, up and down?
We do. We actually have 14 CCTV cameras on our bus, 3 on the outside of the bus and 11 on the inside of the bus.
Wow. So you have a comprehensive view of any incident that takes place on the bus?
Absolutely.
Now, how is this system of deployment going to work? I mean, have you determined which routes and what times? And sometimes we're told they'll actually be at a bus stop.
Yeah, so we have 2 mobile units which will work across the north side of the city and the south side of the city. Because we have the statistics on where the issues happen and where the problems are, we can focus those security personnel in the areas that we need them to be focused on. So that's one of the roles. They'll be jumping on and off buses in those particular areas where we have challenges and concerns around antisocial behaviour. Another role they'll have is they'll be assisting our revenue protection unit with regards to fare evasion. And then in particular with our nighttime services on Friday and Saturday evenings, they'll be assisting Dublin Bus staff with crowd control and the boarding of individuals onto our bus services late in the evening.
Mm. There used to be what they used to call inspectors on Dublin Bus. They're a thing of the past. Now you have the fare evasion teams, I suppose.
But believe it or not, they're still called inspectors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they are still, but they're part of our revenue protection unit.
Okay, now how many people will be deployed over this pilot scheme?
So we have 4 on any given day working, but you need 8 people to actually support the roster to be able to enable that. So they'll be working 12-hour shifts. So from Sunday to Thursday, they'll work from 2 p.m. to 2 a.m. in the morning. And then on Fridays and Saturdays, to address some of the issues I just spoke about earlier, they'll be deployed from 4 p.m. in the evening to 4 a.m. in the morning.
How late do your buses run?
We do have some 24-hour routes, but these are the actual times which our statistics are telling us when we need these services best.
Now, who are these people? Is this a private company of employed?
It is a private security organisation. They have all been highly trained. They're all certified in accordance with the Private Security Authority's regulations. So they're well trained and well skilled to deal with the job that we need them to do.
What will be the measure of success? Because this is a pilot scheme.
Yeah, I suppose it's threefold in many ways. We want to see a reduction in the number of antisocial behaviour incidents and particularly the severity of those incidents. We'll also be seeking feedback from our customers themselves and feedback from our employees, because it's all obviously very important to make sure that they're safe also.
The responsibility that a driver has in Dublin Bus, I mean, extra responsibilities have been heaped upon them. Now they're going to have to say no to e-scooters, for example, which is likely to, I suspect, lead to some kind of robust conversations.
Yeah, look, that's no different than any other sort of new rule that's implemented from a bus driver point of view. And they'll be very well educated on what the issues are and what the problems are. But the National Transport Authority have put very, very clear guidelines out in this and have basically prohibited us from using e-scooters on the bus service. So we're going to implement that on behalf of the National
Transport
Authority.
But the driver has to, he or she is the interface, if you like, with the person clambering on board with a folded e-scooter, maybe.
As he would be from a fare evasion point of view or any other point of view. He may or may not have to deal with, hopefully our residents and people using our buses will adhere to the actual instructions which have been given them and the communications which have been sent out there regarding e-scooters.
Yeah. Now, just while we have you here talking about e-buses, how are you doing on the conversion of the fleet?
Yeah, we're doing really well. So we're very close to rolling out 100 electric vehicles at the moment. We're around 96 at this moment in time. It's new technology. It does have its teething problems and teething issues. But by and large, the programme has gone excellent. So once we get up to the 100 buses, which will be in the next week or so, that's 10% of our fleet which will be electrified.
And what's the range? I mean, how long can they, because it's more about time, I suppose, rather than the range, because buses often are going around the same area to and fro.
Now, you're spot on. The range is incredibly important to us. And the range we're getting out of them at the moment is about 220 kilometres. And we assigned the electric buses to our routes, which can actually accommodate them. And then we bring them into charge at night time, fully charge them at night time, roll out again the next morning for operational use.
Is there a kind of a contradiction here that you've got EV buses with massive batteries and the that could go on fire too?
Well, look, the buses themselves are certified to European standards, no different than a diesel or a hybrid bus. And anything we've been doing with regards to the operation of them and the storage of them in our depots, we've been doing that in consultation with Dublin Fire Brigade.
Do you think it'll ever be the case that you'll have a completely EV fleet, or will you be looking at hydrogen perhaps down the road?
I think the key word that we would use is we want to go towards zero tailpipe emissions. We have embarked on the electrification journey at the moment because that's the one that makes sense to us at the moment. Hydrogen isn't readily available, unfortunately, and it is still more costly
than
diesel.
As they're talking about, for HGVs, hydrogen might be the way.
Correct, because there's no real range issues when it comes to the hydrogen bus, and it's much easier to actually fill a bus up with hydrogen than it is to charge it over a number of hours. However, it's not quite there yet, in my opinion. So
Have to have protocols and rules and regulations to make sure the hydrogen tank is absolutely safe on board.
Absolutely. So what we will be doing is we'll continue on our electrification journey, and then we'll sit down with the National Transport Authority in about a year's time, review the whole programme and see then at that stage, is there a viable alternative to the electrification solution? At that stage, we'll decide whether we're continuing on the electrification route or not.
Now, two other things. One is driver recruitment, because frequently I would see on the back of a bus an ad for drivers. If someone was to start, how long before they'd be up to speed, number one, and what might they be paid?
Yeah, generally about 6 weeks past. So we can take people in with a B licence, which is just a car licence, providing it's clean and there's no endorsements on it. We can bring them in, and within 6 weeks we can train them. Now, they go on a mentor programme there that lasts for another number of months, where you're basically buddying up with somebody and they're keeping an eye on your driving. And so they start in around 40,000 euros, and that can rise up to approximately 50,000 euros.
Which ain't bad pickings.
It's very good.
Yeah. But the B licence, they then get upgraded. They have to do a test then to make sure they're approved to drive a bus.
They do, absolutely. You can't obviously just come in on your B licence and start driving a bus. So that's why it takes us a little bit longer. But still, the sort of the training programme is approximately 6 weeks from B licence up to D licence.
Some of the questions coming in, why doesn't Dublin Bus just pay for more Gardaí? It would be far more effective.
I think it's important to recognise the Gardaí still have an extremely important role to play here, and they will be still our first port of call for any significant issues or problems. So, the support we get from an Garda Síochána Síochána at the moment is excellent. Whether we can get more or not is really up to the Commissioner, and whether we go down the road of a transport police or like that is up to the Justice Department and the Garda Commissioner himself.
Isn't it time we had a Transport Garda Department for all public transport, specifically our trains? Asks one. Well, that's not your bailiwick, but I'll read this one. I live in Malaga. The security guards on the trains have batons, they have handcuffs, and stab-proof vests, and the trains here are very safe. Dublin needs to step it up and give security guards more power. Buses are much more dangerous there.
Look, what I say about that is, when it comes to the powers, we feel that the private security organisation has the power that we need to address the issues.
And will they have stab-proof vests? I mean, will they have that kind of protection?
They absolutely will, yeah.
Why do e-scooters users need a bus? Isn't that the idea? They don't need other transport. That's from Paul. Well, isn't it the last mile theory? They might get the train in from Newbridge or whatever to Houston, hop off there and scoot along to wherever.
Theoretically, that's what you would use them for that last mile of intermodal transport. The difficulty with the e-scooters is the regulations around them and how safe the battery actually is and the potential for it to go on fire. And if it goes on fire on a bus or the train or any other mode of transport, then you're in trouble.
But for the regular user, clearly there's a space for e-scooter hire like the Dublin Bikes scheme. So that scooter never has to go on public transport. You just pick it up, pay for it for your little journey and that's it.
Correct.
Okay, the programme starts today, is it, or has it already been in operation?
The induction train had started last week and it's gone fully live this morning.
Fully live this morning. And what's the uniform like? What colour? What will we see?
Very similar to what you would see on the Dart services or what you would see on the Lewis services.
Okay, so it's almost like paramilitary uniform?
It's kind of a typical security, black... Yeah.
And very obvious. And do they have any weapon at all, like pepper spray or a baton, a nightstick, as they call it? Or
no, there's no. They're not carrying any arms at all.
They're protected by their body cams. That's the
by their body cams and their expertise and their training and their experience of actually de-escalating situations.
All right. Well, it'll be interesting to maybe talk to you in 20 weeks' time and see how you've got on. The CEO of Dublin Bus, Billy Hahn, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.